The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
If you have your Bibles, I want to go to the book of Jonah, and I want to share today a message that I think is so important. And we cut the music a little short this morning so that I can bring this message. I'll preach it in 20 minutes from the time I start. I haven't started yet. If I'm not yelling, I'm not preaching. Amen. And but I want to show you a great verse in the book of Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And then over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, but he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks a sign. No sign will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights, this is Jesus speaking, in the belly of a great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Nineveh will rise up in judgment to this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. I want to talk to you for a few moments on don't waste what you've been through. Don't waste it. And I want to come at this story of famous, if you grew up in church, you know the story of Jonah. We call it Jonah and the whale. It was a great fish. And I believe this story. I believe it just like it's told. And Nineveh was a very wicked city. Nineveh was a place that was controlled by the Assyrians. They were brutal. They were cruel. They hated Israel, hated all of the Hebrew people especially. They were famous for their brutality. They were famous for the way that they would behead their enemies. On one of the walls, it's thought that there were up to 30,000 skulls embedded in the walls of the city of Nineveh. They had pyramids that they had built, smaller ones, pyramids and piles of skulls. They were known for specifically inventing, this is brutal what I'm saying, but they would, when particularly they called a prophet that came sent by God to oppose their great idolatry, the worship of idols. They would cut their tongue out and they would skin them alive. And it was a brutal way of torture, and then behead them and use their heads as trophies. They even had parades that the family, remaining family members would have to carry the skull in worship to one of their deities named Dagon. And they would have to carry in that parade the loved one's remains, the head. I say that because I want you to understand Nineveh. I want you to understand it was the headquarters for the terrorists of that day. As it was as bad of people as you could get. They would brutalize women. They would brutalize children. They would torture. They would mutilate. And God loved them. God loved them so much that He sent prophet after prophet after prophet that they killed and put their heads in the walls as trophies. And so we make Jonah into this big rebel who doesn't want to do the will of God, as though he's some half backslid, you know, preacher that's lost his way in his calling. But that's really not right if you understand the history of the place that God told him to go tell that city to repent in 40 days, or they have 40 days, or he will destroy the city. He knew what that meant. He had heard about the other prophets that had been sent. There's no question others had been sent, and they had been brutalized, cruelly tortured, and killed. And so he was human. I love this, and this is kind of a part two of the last message that I preached the other week, that God knew what he would do. God knows what he's doing. God is in complete control. And we think God only uses our strengths, and we think God only uses us when we've really got ourselves together. But God uses our weaknesses. God uses our mess-ups, our mistakes, and even our rebellion at times against his will. He uses the journey we choose to take that we would never normally take. He uses it for his glory. And in this story, when he was told to do it, he fled. Why did he flee? Because he knew it was a death sentence. He knew, and he thought in his mind, and here's what I love, God knew that he would run. God knew that he would go down and jump on a ship and get on a ship and head to Tarshish, which was 500 plus miles away, to get away from the calling that God had put on him for the city of Nineveh. And so God knew that he wouldn't be like the other prophets and go directly to the place and do it. He knew that he would take a diversion. And so the Bible said that God prepared a storm. That's what it says. It says, your scripture says in Jonah 1, God, number one, he prepared a storm. And you need to understand something about God, that storms are designed to get you off of your track onto God's track. Storms are designed so that you realize and wake up one day to the realization that God is in control even in the storm. God doesn't go on vacation. You don't catch God on vacation during a storm. You don't catch God by surprise. Nothing surprises him. He prepared the storm, and the storm threw this man, Jonah, into confusion. And when a storm comes into your life, it sends you into confusion. And you say, God, why? And what is going on? And where am I? And God, what's taking place? And it causes confusion. And then secondly, he gets so into a bad place that he moves from confusion to being consumed by what he's going through. He's consumed completely because they take him, realizing that the only way that the storm can be stopped is to throw him overboard. He was the reason. And he said to them, throw me over. He didn't jump over because he's a picture of Christ. Jesus didn't commit suicide on the cross. He said, I give myself over to you. I could call 12 legions of angels and they would defend me, but I give myself into your hands. Use me as a sacrificial offering. And they threw him off of the ship. And when he hit the ship, from the ship to the water, the scripture said that suddenly he goes from confusion to being consumed because a great fish swallowed him and took him down into the depths of the sea, as low as you can go. The confusion doesn't confuse God. He's still in control. And now he's consumed. It swallows him up. And it's bad when you have a problem that swallows you up and you feel no way out, because at least when you were in the ship, you could determine, you were in control of what direction you were going. But now he's in the belly of a fish and he has no control. And that fish turns and starts a 3-day journey, 3 days and 3 nights on a journey that's 500 plus miles in the ocean heading to the city of Nineveh. When you understand that he turned his face toward Jerusalem in that process, He's down in the belly of the fish. And I didn't take time to read this scripture, but it says it in that chapter. He turned himself. He turned himself toward Jerusalem. I don't know how he got his directions straight. I don't understand if you're in seaweeds and you're in acids from the fish's stomach and it's eating all the hair off of you and your eyebrows are gone and your hair on your head is gone and you are in down there and you're in the bottom of the sea. But somehow, watch God. God uses the confusion of the storm. God uses the consuming and swallowed up by the problem as a means to get him in alignment with God's plan again. He's turning back toward Jerusalem. He's turning back toward God. He's turning back to the temple where the presence of God and prayers were offered up. He's turning back. And I pray today that somebody's listening to me. And if you're in confusion and if you're in this place of absolutely being consumed by your problem and you're not in control anymore. It is. Let that problem cause you to get in alignment with God's assignment for your life. He uses storms. He uses unusual things and problems that swallow us up, that we are no longer in control. Even alcohol may be that whale that swallowed you, or maybe drug addiction, or maybe some sin that you just cannot, or a financial problem, or some depression that you can't. You're no longer in control. God says, turn, just make a turn toward the right direction, and I'll get you in alignment with my plan and use what the enemy meant to destroy you. I'll let it be a bus to your destiny. Hallelujah. You know, God can use problems and trouble that's consuming you as a bus to deliver you right where he wants you to be for his glory, and you never saw it coming. Some of you are in Whale University right now, and you're going to graduate from Whale. Amen. In Jesus' name. He turned his face. That's the problem. I wonder if he hadn't have turned his face during that process, if he had have made it those 3 days and 3 nights. But I guess there were air pockets somewhere down there. I could see him in my mind as he's barely able to breathe and he's got seaweed all over him and he's in a bad, bad place. And after 3 days of being in the belly of that fish, he spits him out at the port of Joppa, which was right there near the city of Nineveh. And the king had spies and guards who were watching that area like you wouldn't believe. And when he spits him out, I want you to see the picture. It's like a fish surfaces, probably a whale. The water is spraying everywhere. And he comes up unusually close to the beach. He opens his mouth and he spits out the prophet. And he comes out, and by now all of his clothes are gone. All of his hair is gone. He's pale. He's bleached. He looks incredibly scary. He's got seaweed like he's a seaweed creature from the lagoon. He gets out. He's balled up on some rocks and he's shivering and shaking and he's gasping and he can't believe he's still alive. And one of those guards sees this whole thing and thousands of people that are working at the port there see it. They're in shock, and he takes off running, and he says to the king, "King, there's a new prophet in town. They sent another one to get us to repent from our idols." And the king, I could see him in my mind, say, "Sharpen the knives, get the axes out. This is going to be a good celebration. We'll have a special feast." No, sir, you don't understand. You don't understand. This one's different. He showed up and a fish brought him. Now, why does that matter? Because the number one deity, this is not a debate, this is not a question, this is a fact. The number one deity that they worship was a god called Dagon. He's first introduced to us in 1 Samuel chapter 5 or 6. And it's where they brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And they put the Ark of the Covenant beside a statue of Dagon. And Dagon is a half fish, a half man god. So do you understand? This is their god. This is the one who they worship. And they've never listened to a preacher before, they cut their tongues out. They've never listened to a prophet before, they skinned them alive, cut their head off, and put their head in the wall. But this time God said, I'm not gonna let him come through a great lineage of genealogy and family that has been serving me and the kids that came up in the school of the prophets. I'm gonna send a rebel. I'm gonna send a weak man who was scared trying to run from the assignment, but I had a prepared whale or fish that swallowed him up. And so, Mr. King, this one, he came from a fish. Oh, really? Bring him in, the whole nation will hear him. What I'm preaching to you is simply this. You don't know what God's gonna do, because when they watch him crawl out of the belly of the God that they were worshiping, and he said, that is not God. The God that you need to be worshiping is the God who's over your idol, God, and his name is Jehovah Yahweh. God knew that Jonah would run. God knew that Jonah would fear. God knew that Jonah would be in weakness. And God said, I'll take someone who's a failure. I'll take someone who's a rebel. I'll put him in the belly of a fish. And when he runs away and the fish spits him out, they're gonna listen to what he's got to say. Because of the way that he's been and the direction that he's had to go and the toughness of where and the depths of the lowness of what he's been through, they wouldn't listen before, but they'll listen to this one because he's crawled out of the belly of their God. When you wonder, why God? Why are you putting me through this? Why God? Because when you crawl out of that belly of addiction, other Ninevites are listening and watching and saying, if he got victory over it, I can get victory over it. When you crawl out of the belly of alcoholism, it's not just about you, but it could be about your children and your children's children. And I'm telling you, God says, don't waste what you've been through. You crawled out of the belly, some of you, of divorce. And when you hated yourself and you were going through dark days and you cried, some of you been in the belly of grief. Don't waste what you've been through. Only a person who's been in that belly and crawled out by the grace of God can turn around and say to somebody else, you can get out of it too, in Jesus' name. Give him a big praise. Hallelujah. I want some former people who were messed up and addicted and bound, but you crawled out of the belly of that demon God. Hallelujah. And you now serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. And Jonah came out and he said, repent. And instead of pulling the knives out, 120,000 people fell in the greatest crusade in human history. And I mean, I bet he thought, man, I'm really anointed today. No, it's just what you've been through. He had no idea that God was using the whale as a means. What he had been in the belly of was the, without it, he would have never reached the whole city, and they would have certainly been, they would have perished. Can I tell you what Jesus did? Hallelujah, he's our Jonah. He said, just as Jonah, when they came to him and said, preach a sermon and show us a miracle. Come on, do a miracle. He said, the only sign I'll show you is the sign of the fish. Hallelujah. As Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights, I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to carry the sins. I'll be the sacrificial death that Jonah was when they threw him over. And they had peace on the boat as soon as they threw him over and sacrificed him. As soon as you accept Jesus Christ, your rocking boat will smooth out and God will give you peace. And you're about to hear that. Up here, people need peace. They need peace in their home, peace in their mind, peace in their relationships, peace in their marriage, peace in their family. He's the Prince of Peace. And when you look to Him as your sacrifice, He brings peace that passes all human understanding. You can come out of your failures. You can come out of what swallowed you up. You can come out of your confusion. God used him crawling out of the belly of the fish. You don't have to come from a long line of blessing. God can use what you crawled out of. Hallelujah. Don't waste what you've been through. If you were abused when you were 8 years old, and you somehow, by the grace of God, have crawled out of that hell, that suicidal tendency, that dark, dark depression, you crawled out of it. Just remember, there's probably an 8-year-old Ninevite little girl sitting on a couch going through the same abuse. And when you share your testimony with someone, suddenly life comes to that little precious girl that says, there is a God who cares about me and what I've been through. Hallelujah. God just needs a Jonah. And some of you are saying, how could God use this? God, if you love me, why am I going through this? I'm telling you why. You came out of the fish to show somebody else they can come out too. Turn to somebody and say, I came out of the fish.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.